I mentioned the fact, you know, from the first part of the chapter, how that you reap what you sow. They has taken up offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And I reiterated a time or two that preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Amen. There's a time me and Jeff was having a conflict at the house about some of the things he was doing. I said, son, it won't be too long from now until you'll be reaping what you sowed. And he's got four. And I just had one. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So pray, folks, pray. Amen. That the oversowing will beat the harvest. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate your going, and I appreciate your giving, and I appreciate your doing, because you reap what you sow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't sow anything you don't want to reap. I mention that again, you know. And then let me repeat. Preachers, because they know more. Preachers, because they've read more. Preachers, because that time wait on God and they got the revelation of God. They reap it faster than anybody. And I've had to do some of that. Some of that reaping. Amen. Because I sowed it. Amen. And I mentioned Brother Wilney Markham, how that he lives up here in West Carrollton. Look him up in the phone book and give him a call. Say, Brother Collins is preaching about him. Amen. How Brother Cook, 40 years ago or better, 43 years ago, it's before I got married anyway. How long we've been married, why? Amen. Huh? And anyhow, I hadn't married yet. Brother Cook was calling Wilney because he was dragging about being faithful in church. And he said, you need to be faithful, brother. The Lord's a-coming soon. And it wasn't too long till Wilney answered the call to preach. Amen. And pastored about two or three churches before he came to Middletown. Middletown maybe was his third church. I'm not sure. Amen. But I recommend him at Middletown. And I've heard him talk about the problems in the churches that he pastored. Amen. You know what? Wilney reaped what he sowed. Amen. And he reaped it sooner than he was ready to reap it. Praise God. So preachers reap what they sow faster than anybody. Now let me come on down here. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and of Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which is lacking on your part, they have supplied. Paul wasn't bawling them out because they hadn't done it. He was just merely mentioning the fact that they couldn't be here, but these brethren were. And because they were there, they supplied the refreshing that he needed. Amen. They probably brought him a change of clothes. They probably brought him some shampoo and some soap. Amen. They probably brought him some candy or cookies or something. Amen. A piece of cake, some bread. And whatever they needed to bring, they might have brought him a flask of wine. Who knows? Amen. What they might have brought to refresh Paul while he was in prison or while he was traveling. But he said, that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. What did they do? They came and they helped Paul. Amen. And then they came back home to the home church and they told the church how he's doing and they refreshed their spirit. They were so glad to hear from him in a land of no telephone. A land of no communication, except word of mouth. You had to go, you had to talk, and you had to make that long journey back, and they did it. They made the sacrifice. Amen. And they refreshed both Paul's spirit and the church. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. I've had different ones move into the city from the country, from country towns, and they quit church. Here was their excuse. We just couldn't find a church like we had at home. And so we quit church. Hey, why didn't you start one? Start one at your house. You want one like you got at home? Be that church. You know what they wanted? They wanted somebody else to do it. They wanted somebody else to be faithful. Somebody else to fast and pray. Somebody else to sing and shout and bring the joy down. And they wanted to sit and become a couch potato right in church. Amen. I hope it gets so hot that your potato smokes. Amen. Praise God. You won't be satisfied to be a couch potato anymore around the church of the living God. Hey, Aquila and Priscilla started one in their house. Amen. Of course, that's where all the churches were in that day. Most of them were in the house. Because if they'd have bought a lot and put a church on it, well, the Jews would have burned it. And if they wouldn't have burned it, then the Romans would have burned it. And if they hadn't have burned it, the worshipers of Diana would have burned it. And the heathen would have burned it. The idolaters would have burned it. They didn't have any churches for 300 years and better because it's too easy to burn. And the church was under persecution. Hey, and without a nice air-conditioned church to go to, they packed people's houses out in yards. They're still doing it in China. They was doing it in Romania. They was doing it in Bucharest. Praise God, in 1982, 83, 84, 85. Hallelujah. Amen. And we were there, and they had churches in houses when they wouldn't let them build no church. Praise God. So that's no excuse. You got to be faithful anyhow. Praise God. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. That day, they liked you real good, they kissed you on the cheek. If they liked you better, they kissed you on both cheeks. If they really loved you, they kissed you on both cheeks and one right in the middle. They still do that in Russia and a lot of other places. Amen. They, whether it's holy or not, they greet one another with a kiss. The churches do that. They took this very serious. Amen. Back home in the old country church, and they would kiss one another when they shook hands. Well, I don't know if we ought to start kissing, amen, in church again. We would say probably in our everyday language, I'll amplify this a little bit, greet one another with a holy handshake. That's what we do. We shake hands. That comes from medieval times, you know. Amen. Officers stopped us because that van we was driving, when you put on the brakes, backup lights came on, and he wouldn't have bothered us if it hadn't been for that. But he said, that's against the law to have anything that bright in the rear. And Brother Ray was driving, and Brother Ray said, well, this seatbelt won't work. I'm going to get out and go back there. Well, he had his hand in his pocket. The officer said, step out of the car and take your hand out of your pocket. Well, he didn't want him in his hand in his pocket because he might have had a weapon in there at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so he told him to take his hand out of his pocket. He didn't write him a ticket. He just wrote him a warning. Amen. But an open-handed man shaking hands showed he didn't have a weapon, that he had goodwill. Amen. And he was on a peaceful mission. And so we greet each other with a holy handshake. I ate onions just before supper the other night. And I was chewing gum when I went to church, and Rachel mentioned me chewing my gum in church, and I said, well, I ate onions tonight, and I'm chewing gum just in case anybody wants to kiss me. And we don't have too much of that around church anymore. Amen. And I've been to church where there's one preacher, in particular in the Miami Valley, in particular in Xenia, I think he ate onions every night before church. It's not the best practice unless you've got an awful lot of strong killer. Amen. To work in the altar. Amen. Having eat a big plate full of green onions. Amen. And somebody might want to give you a holy kiss and have second thoughts afterwards. Amen. Maybe that'd be a good reason for eating onions. I don't know. Amen. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand. That's interesting. Here Paul is going to write down a salutation with his own hand. And here it is. A salutation of Paul with his own hand. He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. I've never said that to anybody in church. But Paul wrote it in a letter. Let him be accursed. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And he adds another word, Maranatha. That means the Lord cometh. Praise God. I'd like to talk for a little while tonight, not long, about cursed or blessed. Amen. Oh, here in the book of Philippians, Paul said, I'm going to pass through Macedonia. This was the first church he built in Macedonia. Amen. Lydia, she wasn't from there. She got saved first. Amen. And then he cast that devil out of that woman and got thrown in jail for it. All he got out of doing that good deed was a jail sentence. And him and Silas was thrown in jail. Amen. And that's why little Joe Wooldridge didn't know much about the Bible, but he was sincere and tears running down his face. He said, there's Paul and his good wife Silas in jail. And their poor little boys, Timothy and Titus, at home, and nobody to cook supper for them. Got to crying and preaching, and the altar filled up. Amen. That day's kind of past. Amen. But it was his spirit. It wasn't necessarily the truth of it that caused them to fill up the altar. Praise God. And hey, we still make blunders. We still make errors. And God still looks at us as little children and smiles. And he says, look at that, Gabriel. Ain't that cute? Amen. That's my son. He's growing up. Amen. But don't he do some funny things once in a while? Amen. Yeah. God looks at us like Dave Miller was talking about eating that casserole, and his grandson, Caleb, calls it ugly food. He don't like casseroles. And here Dave is eating this big casserole, and he's talking about how he feels real bad. And his grandson, Caleb, is sitting there, and he says, I know what's wrong, Papa. And he said, what, Caleb? As he chomps away on that casserole, he said, you're eating too much of that ugly food. He told that right here behind this pulpit. And, I'd like to fell out of the seat. Amen. He told that. By his that's the way God is. Sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we do make doctrinal errors while we try. But God knows our heart that we're honest and sincere and we want to do something for God. Amen. And sometimes we make what we call in the typing world, typographical errors. Sometimes we don't get our brain in gear when our mouth speaks. Amen. And sometimes we say Noah when we mean Job. And sometimes we say Job when we mean Noah. Once in a while we make those kind of mistakes. That's because we're human. I told Billy that he ought to edit those mistakes out and make me look better. You know what? He ain't never, as far as I know, edited any of them out. He just sends them out. Amen. He's got more faith than I've got. Praise God. And I think probably that boy in Alabama got one of them tapes where I made one of them phenomenal blunders. And he said, send me all your visiting preachers. Don't send me L.L. Collins tapes. I have plenty of them already. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, He said, let him be accursed. Now, the Philippian letter, he said in the fourth chapter, he said, my God shall, 19th verse, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How many will agree that's blessed? Amen. I'd like to be a blessing, wouldn't you? I'd like to be blessed and I'd like to be a blessing. Everywhere you go, put your best foot forward for God. Don't drag, sag, or nag, but praise God. Get in, let go, and let God have His way. Everywhere you go, let your light shine for God and for the highway of holiness. Praise God, and you'll reap what you sow later on. Everywhere you go, be a light for Jesus. Be a blessing. Amen. If you'll be a blessing, you will get a blessing. Hallelujah. Brother Gilpin came to my church on Saturday night in Barberville, Kentucky, many years ago. Already there was a protest going up in the background in the huzzah among the grapevine crowd. We ought not to have a Saturday night service. One brother told me, said, I'm tired after walking this blacktop all day. I'm tired. I'm too tired to go to church on Saturday night. Amen. He wasn't too tired to do anything he wanted to do. Amen. And they wanted to dismiss the Saturday night service. Well, I like a Saturday night service. I like to take advantage of a whole weekend for God. Brother Gilpin happened in there one night on a Saturday night. Amen. And we had a special speaker and a skeleton crew on a Saturday night. Brother Gilpin got up to take a prayer request or something. He said, I saw the hurt on the pastor's face. That's not being a blessing. Amen. That's a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Who's like that? Anybody remember? An unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. Amen. And a foot out of joint. Amen. Hey, praise God. Next time you get crippled up, remember, ask yourself, have I been faithful? Have I been as faithful as I should have? One year ago, I decided on Tuesday, after putting it off on Monday and praying about it, I decided on Tuesday that I would go to Arkansas and take care of my place down in Arkansas. About 1 year ago, I guess this coming Tuesday or the next one, I don't know. Amen. I'd had a limb fall through my roof. My brother called me, told me that I had a 6-inch limb sticking in my roof. And so I called Frank Rogers and Charles Barnett, and they went down and put a piece of tin over it and pulled the limb out. And I hadn't got to go for 2 months. I waited till the Lord would turn me loose. I thought He was turning me loose anyway. Amen. And I already had my battery-powered drill charging. Had the gizmo upstairs sitting on the desk and had it charging. And so I said, wife, I think I can go. I had my clothes on to visit the hospital, a pair of slip-on shoes with hard heels on them, leather heels, amen. And I grabbed up that battery charger and that battery and headed downstairs to get the drill in the case to throw my stuff in the van real quick and the stuff I was going to work with and head for Arkansas, Brother Lucas. Amen. And the second step from the bottom, them hard slick heels in my rush, holding on to that, nothing to balance myself, those hard slick heels slid on the bottom of that second step from the bottom. And with nothing to stop me, oh, I managed to get my arm out and hit the rail with it and busted my elbow, and my elbow swelled up. And, amen, I fell across that step, slammed my back right on that step. Of course, it bruised me right at the vertebrae, but that didn't hurt. You know why my elbow didn't hurt? You know why my backbone didn't hurt? I bruised that big, long muscle on the left side. And I didn't know that one muscle does everything. I didn't know that muscle hollers hallelujah. I didn't know that it hurts so bad to say amen. I didn't know that muscle's the one I climbed steps with and then went back down the steps. I didn't know that that muscle was the one I laid down in bed with, and the one I had to get up with, and the one I rolled over in bed with after I laid down in bed. I didn't know one muscle got in the truck and got me out. I didn't know one muscle preached and sung. I didn't know that that one muscle helped do so many things. Amen. Until I whacked my back against them stairs. Amen. Well, wife said, "LL, you think you ought to go?" I said, "I'm going." And I crippled out to the van and I worked my way into the seat and got the arms down and humped up and drove to Mammoth Spring, Arkansas in 8 hours and 45 minutes. Amen. Record time. Lucas would have been proud of me, Gary. Amen. You'd have had to run to catch up. Praise God. Amen. And I rolled in there. Amen. And unlocked my house and walked in the house and plugged in the fuses in the old-fashioned box in the corner of the living room. Turned the living room light on, and it was real dim with 200-watt bulbs in it. That 50-year-old bulb, amen, was real dim. And I thought that water found its level and it stained the inside of my light fixture. And I'm going to have to get up there and clean that out. I didn't think about it being full of water until I walked by it and it was boiling. In just a little while, them 200-watt bulbs had it boiling. Well, I decided I better go report in to my brother, let him know I'm here. Amen. And so I said, just before I go, with my back in the shape of it, I got me a chair. And I got up there under that light, and I reached up to unscrew it, and I couldn't do it. It was too tight. And so I said, well, it's been tightened up so long that I have to get me a pair of pliers. So I got me a pair of pliers and a pitcher. Here I am, all crippled up in my back with my pliers and my pitcher. And I turned, and I turned. And I turned, the pitcher, top of it sloped back this way. And I turned, I thought, man, I'm turning the stem out. I'm going to have to turn that thing all the way out. I thought, I'll turn it a little and the water will start leaking. The rest of that water will leak out. I catch it in that pitcher. I turned, and I turned. It never dawned on me that there was over a gallon of 212 water in that light fixture. It never dawned on me what was going to happen. Until I turned the last thread and it hit the slant on that pitcher and just turned it over and dumped it all on my left shoulder and back, neck, arm. And before I could get my shirt and t-shirt off, it scalded the hide off my chest. Literally. Amen. I managed to get my t-shirt. The light fell on the floor and broke into 1,000 pieces. I didn't even sweep it up yet. I got my another shirt on, barely got it on, and headed for Mammoth Spring, Arkansas, and asked Jackie if she had any aloe plants. That's what my wife uses for scald and burn. She said, well, I got a whole bottle of aloe gel in the refrigerator. That's just what the doctor ordered. That 40-degree aloe was specially compounded for me, and he already had it cold. Amen. I had him to rub it on my back and my chest and my arms. I put my shirt back on, and she gave me the bottle, and I headed out with my bottle. Amen. To Charles Barnett's to get him to pray for me. I drove into his yard and had Brother and Sister Barnett to pray for me. I've been scalded, I said. Amen. I didn't tell him how bad a shape I was in my back already from falling on the steps. Amen. And that is right away. And I had him pray for my skull. And so they prayed for my skull. The next morning, while I was there anyway, praying for me, Charles Barnett asked me to preach for him tomorrow night, which had been Wednesday. But here I am injured in my back till I can't say amen, hardly, and hallelujah. And I'm scalded now. Amen. Front, back, and down my arm, and where that t-shirt went around my arm, and that hem and that t-shirt was in my arm. It held that hot water to my arm until I had half-inch blisters. I mean, half-inch out from my arm and my neck and of course didn't have any hide left on my chest. I'd scalded it off, amen, and the next day I'd have half inch blisters. And I was scheduled to preach that night. You know what I done? I borrowed bean barges more, pulled the limbs off of the yard that had fell out of the trees, mowed my whole yard, amen, and managed to get ready, amen. I crippled out to my truck, amen, and went to Mama Spring and invited my brother to go to church with me, and he said he didn't feel like getting ready to go to church. You know why I think the Lord let me go to church in that shape in front of him? He's looking for evidence for the judgment. Amen. Said the Queen of Sheba shall rise and condemn this generation. The people of Nineveh shall rise and condemn this generation. Amen. I walked in front of my brother on the way to church, invited him to come and hear me preach. I went back by his house that night and called my wife. I told the church that night when I got up to preach, barely could step up on the pulpit, barely could sing. I preached on doom and perdition. It wasn't my best message that I ever preached, but I preached what I felt like God had given me. I think I preached it here too after I got back. Amen. I told them that night, I said, if I preach like a scalded dog, it's because I am. Amen. I told my wife for the call that night after church, I said, I preached like a scalded dog tonight. And my brother laughed. It wasn't nothing wrong with him. And he didn't go. Amen. Hey, praise God. What are you doing with your health? What are you doing with your good feelings? Hey, it's terrible for Brother Collins to be in the shape he is. Hey, I'm still going day and night for God. What are you doing with your good health? Amen. Don't feel sorry for me. Weep for yourself. Judgments are coming. Praise God, I'm going to go if I go by myself. I'm going to go if I have to walk like Jacob. I'm going to go, praise God. Amen, if it hair lips granny, hallelujah. I'm done and addicted. He said these boys was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Amen. Well, I drove back home. My wife had requested prayer for me. Amen. I got back home. And nobody had done any mowing around, even though they knew I was crippled. Amen. And so I jumped on the tractor and mowed the whole church yard from one end to the other. And me, in the shape I was in, had a doctor's appointment to be checked over for my diabetes. Amen. On Monday. And so this all happened on Tuesday. I got injured on Tuesday. Now Monday, a week later, I go to the doctor. He's scheduled to give me a complete physical. His mouth flies open when he sees the scars on me. And he said, oh my. He said, you probably got infection up there around your neck. Amen. He gave me some more antibiotics. My brother gave me his, and I don't know who all gave me theirs, and I couldn't possibly take all the antibiotics that everybody gave me. Praise God, I had enough medicine to start a medical thrift store. Amen. I couldn't possibly take it all. Amen. You know what I did? I went to Danny Hudson's meeting. Amen. And sat down, and they asked me to testify. And I told them, amen, that I preached like a scalded dog. I went to church. Amen. Daddy likes to fell out of his seat. He told it all over the world. Praise God. But I thought there ought to be at least one preacher that went when he was crippled, that went when he was injured. I preached when the plasma was seeping through my shirt and folks thought it was sweat. Amen. But I preached anyhow. I went anyway. Amen. Because there's a blessing in going and doing for God. Amen. We'll be healed in our doing. Praise God. Amen. Cursed or blessed? Amen. We're blessed tonight. What are we doing with it? Now, amen, I've got to be careful because there's a lot of timid folks around. And they're like, you know, the old boy that saw him in a huddle at the football game and he thought they was all talking about him. He was so sensitive. Amen. There's a lot of sensitive folks sitting around in church that if you say too much about being a curse instead of a blessing, they say, that's me. That's me. That's me. And really, to tell the truth about it, me included, most of us are not all that important. Amen. But there is such a thing as being a Jonah. Amen. And you know when Jonah bought that ticket and got on that ship, amen, going to Tarsus, he cursed that whole ship. One unfaithful, backslidden preacher can curse a whole church and a whole revival.